Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benning speaking. Welcome to another episode of Fort Laramie. Bet you thought it was going away. We haven't had it for a while. We sort of stopped it around Christmas time and then had like one episode since. But we're going to start hopefully presenting it weekly again. I just love this series. Tonight's episode is a great one to start back on. It introduces a new major character to this series. So far, we've had Major Daggett, who is essentially the commander that knows he's got a very talented captain underneath him. And so he gives him leeway, even though he thinks he wouldn't always agree with what Captain Quince wants to do or the way he wants to do it. But he knows he gets results. And so we've seen this character before, but it's really well played. Then we have, of course, Lee Quince, our main character of the show, played by Raymond Burr. And he's a creative officer who's got a real heart to him, but is a clear thinker and knows how to approach problems to solve them in the right way. And it's a unique way that others wouldn't necessarily think about. And then as his kind of right-hand man, we've had Sergeant Gorse. And Sergeant Gorse is the rough sergeant with the heart of gold in there that you can, a very lovable character that's been on the show. And now they introduce another typical kind of stereotype, but that they do a great job with, which is Lieutenant Syberts. And Lieutenant Syberts is the green lieutenant, new to the whole thing, makes some mistakes and needs some guidance, but trying to do his best. And playing him is Harry Bartell. And Harry Bartell was 42 years old at the time, and he didn't know if he could really come across as the young lieutenant like he was supposed to. But if you listen to it, man, he sounds just like a young green lieutenant should sound, and he does a great job of it. And this episode introduces us to that character. And then we have essentially our four leads established at this point on. So I hope you're going to enjoy tonight's episode, Shave Tail.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, I still don't understand it, Captain.
I don't imagine the War Department worries itself about what you and I think, Gorse.
What I mean is, it only makes plain sense that a troop of men ought to be called a troop, not a company.
What's wrong with company, Sergeant?
I don't know, Captain, but it kind of makes us out to be an infantry outfit, don't it?
That bothers you?
I joined the cavalry, not a bunch of road builders and day laborers.
I'm not sure Captain Lawson and his men would like to hear themselves called that.
Why, didn't exactly mean any disrespect to him, sir. I know any frontier post ought to have some infantry stationed on it. But I just think somebody ought to get around to changing the designation company.
A good enough name during the Civil War.
I guess so.
Oh, cheer up, Gorse. May take them 10 years, but sooner or later they'll change it. And I'll be commanding a troop instead of a company.
Yes, sir. I'll be a whole heap older by 85, and I'll sure feel better about it.
All right, Sergeant. Have Corporal Mercer make out some copies of this, then post one at the Saddler's shop, another at the AQM stores.
Yes, sir. Captain?
What is it?
Looks like Lieutenant Seibert's and the men coming through the main gate now, sir.
Yeah, they're about 7 hours late. Come on. We'll go meet them. That's pretty ragged.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Glasser, take over. Dismiss the platoon.
Sergeant Gorse, have Lieutenant Seibert's report to the orderly room as soon as he's free.
Yes, sir.
Well?
Captain.
What is it, Gorse? Say it out.
Lieutenant Seibert's is awful young, and he come here straight from the point.
I know that, Sergeant. You want me to be patient with him, that it?
Something like that, sir.
This is Indian country, Gorse. There's not time for a man to be young. I've been patient with him for 3 months now.
Yes, sir. But there's something else this time.
What's that?
His column out there's one man short.
I can see the empty saddle too, Sergeant. Just have the lieutenant report to me.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Seibert's reporting the captain as ordered.
Stand at ease, Mr. Seibert's. You've just completed a fairly routine mission, Mr. Seibert's. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
If I recall, your orders were simply to take a platoon from B Company, proceed along the wagon road to Fort Collins, accept delivery of 60 remounts from Garrison Quartermaster, and return to Fort Laramie.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
You were to hold strictly to the route assigned, avoid all contact with Indian irregulars or any action which might provoke hostilities or reprisals. Were those your orders or not?
Yes, sir. They were.
Were they clear? Did you understand them?
Yes, sir, but...
Just ride to Fort Collins and bring back 60 horses. Those were your orders. Now, why didn't you carry them out?
I did, sir, until circumstances changed things.
Circumstances never change an order. The most it can do is alter the way you carry it out. All right, let's take a look at the way you carried out your orders.
Sir,
Until last night when you bivouacked, everything had been normal. Then during the night, a band of Indians jumped you and got away with 35 head of horses. Why? Because you'd already violated one order. A standing order applying to all night camps in Indian country. To use 4 sentries on the picket line and 4 more out in the points. You'd only posted 3 altogether.
We were only 4 hours from the fort, sir. I thought...
Then you violated 3 more orders. You sent a detail in to the fort with the horses you had left, and you led the rest of the column in pursuit of the Indians.
But, sir,
In doing so, you left your assigned route, you made deliberate contact with the Indians, and you committed an act you knew would provoke hostilities. In fact, you did everything but tear up your orders and feed them to your mount.
But they'd stolen the horses, sir, and those horses had been placed in my charge. I couldn't let them get away with it.
Why couldn't you? You're an officer of the United States Cavalry, Mr. Seibert's. You're not permitted the privilege of getting mad and hitting back. We've got a job to do out here, a tough one. To keep order over an area of 10,000 square miles. And to do it without men or the guns we need.
I know that, sir.
We're sitting on a powder keg, Lieutenant. Every minute of the day and night, and don't you ever forget it. Just because some Indian strikes a match, that gives you no excuse to light one in return. That clear?
Yes, sir.
You brought back an empty saddle. How did it happen?
We were ambushed, sir. Private Lineley was killed in the first volley. Corporal Dean and Private Wagner were wounded. We killed 2 of the hostiles before withdrawing.
Did you bring in Lineley's body?
I'm sorry, sir. We were unable to recover it.
All right, that's all, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir. Captain Quince, shall I expect a board of inquiry?
That's up to the Major.
Sir, won't he go by your recommendation?
I can't be expected to cover up for every green lieutenant who comes off the point. I'll give him the facts.
Without recommendation?
That'll be all, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir.
Now, just a minute, Captain. You can't expect to cover up for every green lieutenant who comes off the point.
And I wouldn't attempt it, Major, but I still accept full responsibility for Mr. Seibert's actions.
Actions? The way I hear it, unofficially, of course, he simply lost his head, violated his orders.
Maybe I didn't make the orders clear to him, sir.
Clear to him? How could he possibly misunderstand a simple mission like that?
He's young, Major. We do things different out here on the frontier. It takes a while to ease into it.
We haven't got a while.
He'll realize that, sir.
Left his route, attacked a band of Indians, and Lord knows what else.
Major Daggett, you asking me for a detailed report?
Yes, of course I'm asking for... Oh, no. No, by heaven, you've already accepted responsibility. I don't want to know the details, at least not officially.
Whatever you want, sir.
You mean whatever you want. Confounded, Lee. You mother that troop of yours like an old hen with a flock of chicks.
Yes, sir.
You'll take them out in the woodshed and whale the daylights out of them yourself, but you'll be hanged if you'll ever let the neighbors find it.
Yes, sir.
All right, you've accepted responsibility, so I'll let it go at that.
Good.
Provided you also accept the responsibility for pulling us out of the fire. A band of renegades, whoever they were, have attacked a cavalry column, stolen 35 horses, and killed a trooper. If they get away with it, more Indians will jump reservation and join up with them.
I think we can prevent that, Major. With your permission, I'd like to have a try at it.
What'll you need?
40 picked men from B Company, a second in command, and half a dozen of the best Indian scouts at the fort. Quanto for one, Dancing Fox, and maybe Will Granby and Pete Hazen.
All right. Who'll you take as your second? Peterson?
No, sir. Lieutenant Syberts.
You're handicapping yourself.
I'd like to move out by 1 o'clock. That way a forced march will put us at the site of the ambush before dark.
All right, Captain Quince. Make your arrangements.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, and Captain.
Yes, sir?
Good luck.
Thank you, sir. Sergeant Gores?
Yes, sir?
Just what do you find so funny?
What? Nothing, Captain. Nothing at all.
Lieutenant Syberts reporting, sir. We're ready to move out on order.
Good. Sergeant Gores?
Yes, sir?
What do the scouts say?
Quanto talked with the scouts that were with the lieutenant at the ambush, sir. He's pretty sure they're a bunch of Cheyenne, Bison clan, with Squaw Dog leading them.
Squaw Dog. How many braves?
Around 30, sir. And Quanto thinks they won't be very far away.
I agree with him. This time of year, they're not likely to go north of the Laramie Mountains or west of the Sweetwater Ridge. 10 to 1, they'll hole up somewhere in the Butte Country this side of the Laramie foothills.
Well, that's what Quanto thinks, too, sir.
All right, Sergeant. Tell Quanto and the other scouts to move out. They can cut the sign at the side of the ambush before the column arrives. We'll be there at 5.
Yes, sir.
Quanto, you and Will Granby move out.
All right, Mr. Syberts. Post.
Column!
The guide has left, soldier.
Scouts have moved out, sir.
Right, Sergeant. You get coffee this morning, Gores?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad. I have a feeling it might be a spell before you get any more. Mr. Seibert?
Yes, sir.
You will move out with a point. Once we clear the fort, you will deploy the men as skirmishers.
Yes, sir.
By the column of twos left, on the guidon, forward!
Forward!
Forward! Ho!
Captain?
What is it, Gores?
I sure do like getting out in the open air now and then.
I just hope you feel that way 2 days from now.
I think I will, sir. I think I will.
Lieutenant Seibert's reporting, sir.
Yes, Lieutenant.
I've checked over the mount, sir. They're standing it well, all in good shape. Private Harrison's mount has a stone bruise, not serious.
Fine. You got a match, Seibert's?
Yes, sir. Here you are.
Thanks. Sit down. Rest your feet.
Thank you, sir. Captain, may I ask what the plans are?
We'll let the men rest here till midnight, then push on north following the river. Unless Quanto or one of the other scouts makes contact before then.
And after that, sir, when we find Squad Dog and his men?
No plans. At least no detailed plans. As a matter of information, Lieutenant, or instruction, as you might say, I'm operating under one general order. To get the horses back, punish the Indians responsible for stealing them and for killing Private Linley, and do it without starting a blood feud.
You pardon my saying it, sir. It sounds like a difficult mission.
Most of the jobs the cavalry does out here are difficult, Lieutenant. In time, you'll realize that.
I'm beginning to, sir.
Hope so.
Who goes there? Advance and be recognized.
One, two, go.
Captain Quince, it's Quanto, sir.
Over here. Any luck, Quanto?
Much luck. Find Squaw Dog.
Where?
Up river at Ponowico Fork, 1 mile west. Camp in Buttes.
Ponowico Fork. And a forced march, we can make it before dawn. Corporal Mercer, get my horse.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Seibert, I'm going to ride out with Quanto and get a look at him. You'll take command of the column.
Yes, sir.
Have the men tie down their bridle chains, muffle all equipment. Stay by the river, but keep moving. Wait at the fork if I haven't rejoined you. Sergeant Gores knows where it is. That clear now?
Yes, sir.
All right, Quanto, lead out. Carry on, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
Bugler, sound boots and saddles.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gores.
Yes, sir.
We'll move out in 10 minutes.
Well, that's them, all right, Lieutenant. If it was anybody else, a point flanker would have stopped him.
Wonder what he plans to do.
I just wouldn't know, sir. I never try to outguess the captain.
He's a good officer, Sergeant Gores.
You couldn't find any better, sir. When we got a little time, I want to tell you something else about him.
Made good time, Mr. Seibert.
Thank you, sir.
Be full dawn about half an hour. Things are working out fine. There are about 30 of them camped in a narrow ravine between those two buttes there to the west.
Luck sure is with us, Captain.
The ravine's about 150 yards long. Only way out's at either end. Sides are too steep to climb. So here's what we'll do. Sergeant Gorse will send four men to each of those two buttes. They'll climb on foot, take positions on the rim of the ravine, looking down on Squaw Dog's camp. Understood?
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant, you'll take 12 men and circle south to come up on the far side of the buttes. You'll approach on foot, establish a skirmish line to command the mouth of the ravine. It's all broken ground. There's plenty of cover. You'll have 20 minutes to get in position. That clear?
Yes, sir.
I'll move in, cover this end of the ravine. You'll fire at will on your own discretion as soon as you hear my guns open up. And with this point in mind, don't kill a single Indian unless you have to keep from being overrun.
But sir...
That's an order, Lieutenant. This whole operation has just one purpose. I want Squaw Dog to realize one thing fast, that he's trapped and that we can kill him and every one of his braves if we so choose. After that, we'll just see what happens. That clear to both of you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, move out.
It's 20 minutes now, Captain.
Then we'll assume Seibert's is in place. All right, Sergeant, let's wake him up.
Yes, sir.
Prepare to fire! Ready? Fire!
Hit him again, Sergeant.
Ready? Fire! At the ready, hold.
Well, that ought to show him it'll be a little rough trying to come out this end.
He ain't even going to try it, sir. Not one brave has shown up at the end of that ravine. There go the boys up on the rim.
That'll give him something else to think about. Well, he ought to run into Seibert's down there at the far end any second now.
There he goes now.
We've stopped firing. We've turned him back. Well, Gorse, I guess we can settle back now and wait.
What do you figure Squaw Dog's going to do, sir?
I know what I'd do. I'd hightail it out here and talk things over. You got a match, Sergeant? If Squaw Dog wishes to say something to the captain, let him get off his horse and speak the English he learned in mission school. And let him hand me his rifle.
Squaw Dog, ask why it is white man's soldier attack peaceful hunting party.
Is it possible Squaw Dog thinks I'm a fool?
All Cheyenne, no. Captain is wiser of all men.
Then is it possible that Squaw Dog has lost his eyesight and gone blind?
Squaw Dog sees like the eagle.
Then why can't he see 35 horses in there, in that ravine, with the mark of the white man's government on their flanks? Or is it possible that some of the chief's braves have made a fool of him?
A fool?
Could it be that some of them have stolen horses and killed a soldier of the white man's army, and Squaw Dog knows nothing about it? Could it be that they've lied to you? Told you they traded for the horses? Are you a chief, Squaw Dog? Or a fool whose men laugh at him behind his back?
I am chief.
Then why are you not able to control your men? Why are they able to fool you so easily? Have you lost your authority?
I am chief.
If you were chief, you would identify the guilty men and punish them yourself. Why is it necessary for the white man's army to do your job for you?
I do not know who does this thing.
Well, I'll give you 5 minutes to find out. And if you can't, then we'll look for the guilty men with bullets. And a bullet has no eyes, Squaw Dog. It can't tell the guilty from the innocent.
How many brave you say do this thing?
I don't know. But one trooper was killed. I'd say it would take about 4 braves to kill a trooper.
Squaw Dog, go now.
Just 5 minutes. And when you come out, leave the government horses in the ravine and leave your rifles there, too.
We do not keep rifle.
You do not. It may help remind you to supervise your braves more closely in the future. Now get going.
The 5 minutes are just about up, Captain.
Yeah. He may decide to fight, but I was hoping he'd take the bait.
He took the bait, Captain.
Yeah. Well, it's rough justice, but it's better than a blood feud and a punitive campaign by a full regiment.
There they come, sir. They're riding out.
All right. Let Mr. Syberts know he can follow him through.
Yes, sir. Bugler, sound recall. Well, they probably shot the 4 oldest.
Yeah, probably. Have Squaw Dog and his braves stand by till Lieutenant Syberts gets here. He took part in the action. He has a right to share the surrender.
Yes, sir.
Guilty braves are punished. Squaw Dog is free to go now.
Yes, you have my permission.
Now go, Kinyanya.
Oh, just one more thing, Squaw Dog. Every chief should have a rifle, but you have none.
No.
I will permit you to have a rifle, Squaw Dog. Here, take this one. Now, go in peace.
Peace. Bye-bye. Kinya.
That bloody old reprobate.
Revenge is a luxury out here on the frontier, Sergeant. Better this way in the long run.
Captain, why'd you give him back his gun?
Because that gun will break his back, Lieutenant. He took that rifle off of Trooper Linley's dead body. I saw the serial number. That made him a big man with the clans. But then we outfoxed him, forced him into a spot where he had to execute his own braves to save his skin. And as a final gesture of contempt, I gave him back the gun. That'll break him. It'll save lives in the long run. They'll laugh him off the reservation before the month's out. And what's wrong, Lieutenant?
I caught a bullet, sir. One of the Indians the other end of the ravine. It's not serious.
Why didn't you get attended to?
I had direct orders to report to you at once.
A bullet wound's an exception, Lieutenant. Go find Corporal Grayley and get him to dress that.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
About that board of inquiry.
I heard about it, sir.
Who from?
Sergeant Gorse, sir.
Gorse?
Captain. He's gonna do all right. He'll make a good soldier.
He'll do better than that, Sergeant. He'll make a good cavalryman.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Les Crutchfield, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Jack Moyles, Joseph Cranston, and John Daner.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Now, a public service message from CBS Radio. In time of flood or fire or other disaster, feeling sorry for the victims is not enough in itself to help those victims resume their normal ways of life. When disaster strikes, someone must be on the spot and on the job to help. And with your support, the Red Cross will be on the job wherever and whenever emergencies arise. Join and serve your local Red Cross chapter now and enjoy knowing that your membership and your contributions are helping people when a need arises throughout the months ahead. Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. Hello, Kitty.
You look a little blue.
Oh, it's cold outside.
Well, you sit down.
Yeah.
I'll have Sam fix you up a coffee grub. That'll warm you.
Why do you think I came in?
Well, you sure know the way to compliment a lady. Maybe I ought to just...
What do you think you're doing?
Oh, Matt, look. He's been spoiling for trouble ever since he came in here.
That's Murdoch,
question,
huh?
Mister.
Do you know him?
No,
yeah.
Well, answer.
Nothing. You don't need the whole bar.
What'd you say?
I got as much right here as you.
Is that so?
Man, he's got a knife.
Wait a minute.
Murdoch. Put it up.
you again, Dillon. Just like the last time. You want more of the same?
It's a little different now, Murdoch.
So I see. You got a badge to hide behind
now. Put up the knife. That's better.
This man's crazy, Marshal. I didn't do a thing to him. I didn't mean to jostle him.
It's all right, son. It's over now. Go on about your business.
Yes, sir, Marshal. Yes, sir.
Yeah. What kind of a bone picker is that for the High Plains?
Times have changed, Murdoch.
Nothing but settlers and dudes, bone pickers and trackmen, cow wranglers and bluecoats, and lawmen.
There's something you better understand, Murdoch.
Hmm?
When Dodge was full of you buffalo hunters, you could throw your weight around. Well, not anymore.
I ain't changed, Dillon.
Just stay out of trouble.
I'll do as I want.
He always did. What are you doing in Dodge anyway? There haven't been any buffalo around here for years.
Well, maybe I came to see you, Dillon.
And I thought you probably figured me for dead.
Oh, no. I heard about you and your badge.
Maybe it's just as well for both of us. I'm wearing it.
I don't fear no man. And least of all, you.
All right. Just let me give you a little warning. If you're thinking of going south for buffalo into Indian territory, I wouldn't.
I do a lot of things you wouldn't.
This is orders from Washington. They don't want any more trouble with the Indians. The territory is closed to hunters. I got cavalry patrols along the line.
I go where I aim to go. And I don't fear no cavalry.
And I got orders to stop anyone.
Have you now?
You just remember what I said.
Matt, he's dangerous. There's a crazy look in his eyes.
You know, Kitty, when the buffalo herds were running, Dodge was 2,000 like him and not much else.
Well, who is he?
He's the one the Indians call Long Arm. His name's Jace Murdoch.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Yeah. Almost a legend on the frontier. Been on the plains maybe 30 or more years. Beaver trapper, buffalo hunter, Indian scout. He lived with the Indians a long time.
Matt, what's between you and Murdoch? A grudge?
That's the kind of a thing a man doesn't like to talk about or remember, Kitty. When he takes a beating.
You?
I was just in from Missouri, pretty green. Murdoch and some of his crowd were in town on a spree. But when their fun threatened to include scalping a hide freighter they didn't like, I stepped into it. Like I say, I was pretty green.
They beat you, Matt?
Left me for dead down by the river.
You watch out for him. He's a troublemaker.
Yeah. But right now, I want to find out why he's here.
Introducing one of the country's best-known jazz musicians and arrangers, Mr. Bobby Haggart. How about whistling along with him?
Packs more pleasure, packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
The more perfectly packed your cigarette, the more taste and mildness are released for you. Chesterfield, made by Exclusive Accuray, as an open, easy draw that unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos. Now, Accuray ensures an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
I figured Murdoch was in Dodge, outfitting a hunt. So I found the merchant who sold him supplies. He couldn't tell me much, except that Murdoch had an Indian with him for a skinner, and that they were camped somewhere outside town. Took me a while, but I found the camp. And when I came up, the Indian was alone. He was a young brave, and he was hunched over the fire, sharpening a long, curved skinning knife. It's all right. Go on. You're a long way from home, aren't you? What are you, Blackfoot?
How do you know that?
The scars on your wrists, the cut arms. Your people do that in mourning some close relative's death, don't they? Now, who are those for? Father, brother, mother? All right. My name's Matt Dillon. I'm a U.S. Marshal. How are you called? Well, what does Murdoch call you?
When he is not angry, Injun.
And when he is?
Dog eater.
Ah. And he knows his Indian insults. What do your people call you?
It means golden calf.
Now, you're a breed, aren't you?
I'm an Indian.
And then what are you doing here so far from your tribe, skinning buffalo for a man like Murdoch?
In the lodges at night, my people speak of the pale warrior with the long arm.
Jace Murdoch, huh?
When he was with us, his medicine was good. The plains were dark with buffalo. They gave the Indian all he needed. Food, clothes, beds, lodge skins. Now we do not have good medicine. The buffalo are gone.
So you came looking for Murdoch, for Long Arm, to take him back?
Yes. But he would not go, so I stay with him.
And now you're going on a buffalo hunt with him into treaty territory, huh?
He does not tell me where he goes.
Then I'll tell you. He's going to hunt among the few small herds that are left, given by the treaty to the Indian.
I do not know that.
Well, it's true. And if you do this, you're robbing your brothers of the little that's left to them.
That's enough, Dillon.
Hello, Murdoch.
Stand up, dog eater.
Don't hit him again, Murdoch.
I'll do as I please. You've got no right to come snooping, Dillon, asking questions, trying to turn my skin against me.
And the way you treat him, you'll turn him against yourself. And he may not be so friendly once you two are alone down in the Indian nations.
I don't fear no Indian. Least of all him. I know him. Lived with him plenty of years.
So I heard. They thought you were good medicine then, huh?
Sure. I brought him the long arm. The first gun they ever seen. Gave him more meat than they ever seen, too. Sure, I was good medicine.
Yeah, but you've changed some.
I'm not so romantic as I was. I can take him or leave him alone. Besides, Injun's day is done. A man don't need to walk easy with him no more.
I wouldn't be too sure of that.
With this, I can be sure.
Well, you still shoot a big 50, huh?
Yeah. And I can load and fire as fast as another man with one of them new repeaters. And I can drop a buffalo near a mile. Or a man. Hey, killed an Injun once at 1,200 yards. Like to took off his head.
You enjoy killing, don't you, Murdoch?
Oh, I don't mind it.
You know, 30 years on the plains have done something to you. Something crazy. Maybe you were a pioneer once, opening up the West, a loner doing what you had to do, making your own law. But your day's finished, Murdoch. You have to abide by the law now.
Are you through, Dillon?
I see by your outfit you're going light and fast. That must mean south. Well, I'm warning you, don't try it.
I'll go where I aim to go. No cavalry will stop me. And I just hope you try.
All right, if that's the way you want it. You cross that line and I'll come after you. ¶¶
Say, where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your car? Getting ready for dinner? Oh, I see. Just relaxing in your favorite easy chair. I'd say you're in a good spot right now to really enjoy Chesterfield's better taste and mildness. You see, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. A more perfectly packed cigarette gives you an open, easy draw that unlocks all the better taste and mildness of fine tobaccos. And Chesterfield, made by exclusive Accuray, is more perfectly packed, with an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying. Remember, to the touch, to the taste.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Buy Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
I could have sent word to the colonel out at Fort Dodge and let the cavalry handle Murdoch. But this was something personal. It was a job I wanted to do myself. I couldn't touch Murdoch until he crossed the line into the Indian Nation, so the next morning I just watched him drive out of town. I gave him a couple of hours, and then Chester and I started on his trail. Went straight south, across the Arkansas, into the Nations.
I don't know, Mr. Dillon. It seems almost too easy. His wagon tracks in the snow going straight as a board as far as you can see over the next rise.
Yeah, I know, Chester. But we better keep our eyes open. We should be getting close to him now.
Well, I guess ain't nothing to worry about as long as we can see his tracks up ahead.
Yeah, maybe not. But we'll come up on that rise easy. Just might be waiting for us on the other side.
Well, I don't know. The way he ain't bothering to carve his trail, it seems like he ain't expecting us to follow him. Maybe he didn't believe you.
I don't count on it.
Why? I swear this ain't the time of year for traveling, is it? Good time for buffalo hunting, though. Coats will be prime. And if I was... Mr. Dillon!
Chester, you hit?
No, sir. He didn't get me. He got my horse, but I'm pinned down.
All right, I'll get you out.
Mr. Dillon, look out. He's still shooting.
All right, just stay flat behind the horse. Now, you pull your leg out when I lift up on the saddle, huh?
Yes, sir, I will.
There. Now, stay low.
Mr. Dillon, where'd that shot come from?
Well, I'm not sure, but I... Yeah. From over in that rim of rock there.
You must have circled around.
Yeah, we rode right into a trap. How's your leg?
Well, it ain't broke, I don't think. But it hurts some, all right. Oh, I'm afraid I ain't going to be much use to you, Mr. Dillon.
Now, don't worry about it, Chester.
But what are we going to do? We can't just lay here in the snow. We'll freeze.
That's probably what Murdoch's thinking.
He sure planned it and got us pinned out here in the open. No cover anywhere is near. Mr. Dillon, my rifle's under the horse. Maybe we can...
No, it wouldn't do any good anyway, Chester. It's too far. Only his buffalo gun has this range.
Yes, sir. I guess... Why, now he shot your horse, Mr. Dillon. There was no need for that.
Yeah. He's showing us how great a hunter he is, Chester.
What are we going to do without horses?
Now, we'll worry about that later. Right now, there's one thing we can do. Get up to those rocks and rush him.
Yeah, but how?
Well, his big 50's a single shot. He's got to reload between shots.
He's doing it mighty fast.
Yeah, but while he is, I could be moving.
Oh, Mr. Dillon, you wouldn't never make it. Why, that's 500 yards or more.
Now, you got any other ideas, Chester?
No, sir, I ain't. Oh, darn this leg.
It's all right, Chester. This isn't your fight anyway. Well, I think I'll draw a shot and see just how fast he can reload.
No, Mr. Dillon.
One,
two.
You're taking off a chance standing up like that,
four,
Mr. Dillon.
Five.
No. Oh, gracious,
all right. Now we know. 5 seconds.
That ain't very long.
Well, it'll have to be long enough. Well, Chester.
Yes, sir. Good luck, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Same to you, Chester.
Hey, Murdoch!
One, two, three, four, five.
Not like hunting buffalo, is it, Murdoch?
One, two, three, four, five.
Well, you're getting closer, Murdoch.
One, two, three, four, five. Well, maybe he's caught on.
Hey, Murdoch! You couldn't be out of ammunition, could you?
I wonder.
Hey, Murdoch!
I lay there half covered by the snow, knowing Murdoch might easily be holding me in the sights of his rifle. But I also knew I couldn't lie there much longer. I'd freeze before darkness could give me the cover I needed. Then I saw movement among the rocks. It was Golden Calf. He walked to the rim, then started down toward me, the body of Jace Murdoch lifeless in his arms. I got up and went to meet him. And as I approached, Golden Calf stopped, and after a moment, he placed the body gently on the ground. Why did you do it, Golden Calf?
I knew now you spoke the truth. His medicine was not good. Not anymore.
Is that the only reason you killed him? Here? Now? All right, thanks, anyway. I'm going to have to take you back. But nobody will convict you for saving the life of a U.S. Marshal. Well, we're going to have to bury him.
Yes.
Here, wait a minute. Let me see your wrist. That's a new gash. Was Murdoch a relative of yours?
He was my father. I am Golden Calf, the son of Long Arm.
Oh. Well, all right, Golden Calf. Let's get started.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Chesterfield, made by Exclusive Accuray, packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Firm and pleasing to the lips. Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
You know, the arrival of a Texas herd in Dodge usually meant celebrating and a general hurrahing of the town. But next week, a herd arrives with a murdered man. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Special music for Gunsmoke was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Nestor Paiva, Sam Edwards, and Harry Bartell. Harley Bear is Chester, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Smokers, this is it. L&M filters. So good to your taste, so quick on the draw.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M, so good to your taste.
So quick on the draw.
Get L&M today.
Relax with L&M, so good to your taste, so quick on the draw.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.